Lyndon call me from the Texas hotel, and he was still irate. I said, Lyndon, about last night, and he went to cursing. He used foul language all the time, and he said, those Kennedys, he repeated, they will never embarrass me again. That's no threat. That's a promise. And I'd like the entire world to know how I personally feel is the fact Lyndon Johnson knew about the assassination and was a part of it.
Welcome back to BCFM's Politics Show with Irish Republican Labour activist Martin Summers and me, Tony Gosling. The other Fabian, the modern day John Dee, behind our brave Royal Marine pirates who took over an unarmed Iranian oil tanker yesterday morning off Gibraltar. He's Fabian Picardo and he's the Chief Minister of Gibraltar. Nobody's heard of him before much, but we hear what he's got to say about yesterday's Iranian tanker seizure. And it's taking place right now at Tony Benn House, just kicking off on Victoria Street. Three Latin American ambassadors to the UK are explaining how the US is casting a shadow on their countries. The meeting's called Trump Targeting the Latin American Left, and it's been organised by Bristol Link with Nicaragua, and we hope to be covering it live in a few minutes' time. Plus, an exclusive on the apparent air raid on a Libyan detention camp. Khalifa Haftar commands the Libyan National Army. He's been blamed in the Western media, but was it the official NATO-backed governments of Siraj, or even a third force in the country, Turkey, and their NATO drones? And also Alex Craner, author of the book on the Magnitsky Act, if I can say it, talks about Russia in 1990 when perestroika turned to economic disaster. Companies could only pay their staff in the goods that they were producing. Who were the Russian oligarchs buying up Russia's infrastructure? For peanuts. Our sister show Dialects here on BCFM at Tuesday at noon. This week, Kim Hicks, the daughter of the city's civic society chair in the 1960s and 70s, Jerry Hicks. She takes us through the battle against high rises and rapacious property speculators, both then and now. Yes, today too. Some say being let loose. Well, she says anyway, by Bristol's current mayor, Marvin Rees. Speculators, that is, and the high rise builders. You can listen here at BCFM 93.2 at noon next Tuesday or download it right now from dialectradio.co.uk. Well, I think what we'll try and do now is to go live to Tony Benn House to see what's happening there. Have we got anything? Hello? Hello? Nope, nothing coming through yet. So any time now they're supposed to be starting speaking. Martin, maybe we can start by talking a little bit about the Iranian tanker in Gibraltar. Pretty peculiar little operation, this.
Well, it's just part of the general tensions that are rising across the Middle East, isn't it? I mean, it's the tanker was taking Iranian oil to Syria. There's still sanctions on Syria because we've been trying to overthrow the government of Syria by backing various jihadi forces inside Syria since, you know, several years now. And the Iranians obviously are quite angry. I heard earlier on that they're saying that they will seize a British tanker if we don't release their tanker. And before we vote on who's going to be next Prime Minister, we might be discussing going to war with Iran, which I think we ought to discuss because it's probably more important than Brexit even.
So let's have a listen now to Fabian, he's the other Fabian Picardo, the Gibraltar's chief minister, talking about this earlier on today.
In the early hours of this morning,
yesterday,
Gibraltar port and law enforcement agencies, assisted by a detachment of Royal Marines, boarded a supertanker carrying crude oil to Syria. We have detained the vessel and its cargo. This action arose from information giving the Gibraltar government reasonable grounds to believe that the vessel, the Grace One, was acting in breach of European Union sanctions against Syria. In fact, we have reason to believe that the Grace One was carrying its shipment of crude oil to the Banyas refinery in Syria. That refinery is the property of an entity that is subject to European Union sanctions against Syria. Yesterday, we published regulations and a notice to enforce those sanctions against this vessel and its cargo. I also gave a direction requiring the captain of the port, assisted by the Royal Gibraltar Police and Her Majesty's Customs, to take control of the Grace One. With my consent, our port and law enforcement agencies sought the assistance of the Royal Marines in carrying out this operation. As the sanctions being enforced are established by the EU, I have written this morning to the presidents of the European Commission and Council setting out the details of the sanctions which we have enforced. I want to thank the brave men and women of the Royal Marines, the Royal Gibraltar Police, Her Majesty's Customs Gibraltar, and the Gibraltar Port Authority for their work in securing the detention of this vessel and its cargo. Be assured that Gibraltar remains safe, secure, and committed to the international rules.
We'll carry on with listening to that and discussing that later, but we're going to go now live to Tony Benhouse. We'll hear what they've got to say.
The same way, from within Cuba. And please think in terms of what they are doing now against Venezuela, against Nicaragua. Overthrow the communist regime from within Cuba and institute a new government with which the United States can live in peace. Second, concept of operation. Basically, the operation is to bring about the revolt of the Cuban people. The revolt will overthrow the communist regime and institute a new government with which the United States can live in peace. The revolt requires a strongly motivated political action movement established within Cuba to generate the revolt, to give it direction towards the object, and to capitalize on the climatic moment. The political actions will be assisted by economic warfare to induce failure of the communist regime to supply Cuba's economic needs, psychological operations to turn the people's resentment increasingly against the regime, and military-type groups to give the popular movement an action arm for sabotage and armed resistance in support of political objectives, and so, and its diplomatic actions, a state is concentrating on the organization of American states, meeting on foreign ministers. You know, they seize Cuba from OAS, hoping to get wide Western hemisphere support for OAS resolution condemning Cuba and isolating it from the rest of the hemisphere. And the document, there are two documents here. This, it says, the only civil means of alienating internal support is through disenchantment and disaffection based on economic hardship. If the above are accepted or cannot be successfully countered, it follows that every possible means should be undertaken promptly to weaken the economic life in Cuba. If social policy is adopted, it should be the result of a positive decision which would call forth a line of action which, while inconspicuous as possible, makes the greatest inroads in denying money and supplies to Cuba.
The Cuban ambassador to the UK speaking live from Bristol from a meeting at Tony Benhouse, Trump targeting the Latin American left.
An overthrow of government. So this explains everything. This also explains the present. So go back to the past and you will explain the present. We are there. We know that socialism is the best system for justice, for a better society, and we will keep our rights to build the society that the Cuban people wants to build. We have been very quite active last 3 years in taking measures in our economy and to try to improve the results of our economy. But this is very difficult when you have a policy of blockade. The implementation of the Title 3 of the Health Portal Law means that the United States is imposing to third countries this policy of blockade. So the third countries will not have the right to be sovereignty and to decide to whom they will trade, to whom they will, where they will invest, because fear is at the base of this policy.
Live from Bristol, this is the Cuban ambassador to the UK, Teresita Vicente Sotolongo.
So last year, I've seen a lot of companies and banks sanctioned because of that. But we have, thank you, we have worked hard, we have had elections, a new president, which means continuity. They have said for decades that the young generation in Cuba will not be as revolutionary as the generation that made possible revolution, and we are there. And our president is a young man working hard in continuity. We have a new, very democratic constitution, very advanced constitution, and we will keep doing so. I want to thank you all again, and I will give floor to my colleagues. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're listening to Tony Benhouse live here in Bristol with these Latin American ambassadors. The event is called Trump Targeting the Latin American Left.
This is how good the Troika of Tirania coordinate each other. Well, thank you very much for getting here today. This year, the UK Solidarity with Nicaragua arrives 40 years now, Nicaragua Solidarity Campaign, and the Sandinista Revolution that inspired that international solidarity is also arriving to 40 years.
Now, this is the Nicaraguan ambassador to the UK, Griseli Morales Echavarri.
Homage to the thousands who showed their tenderness and soul to the people of Nicaragua. For those who gave their life physically or through many years fighting for the liberation in Nicaragua, we have to thank for the friendship, the courage, the determination, and the commitment since its conception, with all the campaigns that move UK to look to Nicaragua even before the triumph of the revolution. And you have many posters over there that reminds about that. With your solidarity, in the 80s, you made possible the revolution to survive at some point. Your solidarity gave us hope during the 17 years of neoliberalism. With your solidarity in the last 12 years of the Sandinista revolution has continued, and its achievement on reduction of poverty, of inequality, on closing the gender gap, on education and health, the strengthening of the social movement, the cooperative movement, the trade union movement, the social economy, the development of infrastructure, the fight against climate change, the resilience for adaptation, all also because of you. Now, in Venezuela, are the clearest example of rampant imperialism. In a matter that is repeating itself, even before, in the case of Nicaragua, William Walker invaded for the first time and declared himself president of Nicaragua in 1856. And we see through history. Then in 27, and when the mercenary warfare of the 80s, and then we have the pressures using OAS, for example, to pressure the United States in the 80s. Now, and the threat, the same that Nicaragua, the same as Cuba and Venezuela, are a threat to the security of the United States. So there is a continuous trajectory of intervention that shows a different form. Sometimes it's a military direct intervention, has been like a push for political and more subtle tactics, using others to get to do the deed. So, and overthrow the supposed dictatorship after 50,000 people die. Harold Pinter lost elections in 1990. Harold Pinter in 2005 Nobel Prize speech entitled Our Truth and Politics explained all in the way a person like him can do. As a spokesperson for Nicaragua in opposing congressional aid to the Contras in the 1980s, he said, the United States supported the brutal Somoza dictatorship in Nicaragua for over 40 years. The Nicaraguan people led by Sandinista overthrew this regime in 79, a breathtaking popular revolution. The Sandinistas were imperfect. They possessed their fair share of arrogance, and their political philosophy contained a number of contradictory elements, but they were intelligent, rational, and civilized. They set out to establish a stable, decent, pluralist society. The death penalty was abolished. Hundreds of thousands of poverty-stricken peasants were brought back from the dead. Over 100,000 families were given title to land. Free education was established and free health service. Infant mortality was reduced by 30. Polio was eradicated. In the view of the U.S. government, the dangerous example was being set. If Nicaragua was allowed to establish basic norms of social and economic justice, if it was allowed to raise the standard of healthcare, education, and achieve social unity and national self-respect, neighboring countries will ask the same questions and do the same things. The United States finally brought down the Sandinista government. It took some years and considerable resistance, but relentless economic persecution and 30,000 people dead finally undermined the revolution. They were exhausted and poverty-stricken once again. The casinos moved back to the country. Free health and free education were over. Big business returned with vengeance. Democracy has prevailed. So it says it all, I think, you know, because this is what is happening all over again. In these years, in this second part of the revolution since 2007, we have reduced poverty again by half. We have reduced inequality. We are becoming the fifth most gender equal country in the world. But
we're listening to live from Tony Benn House on Victoria Street in Bristol. Is right now it's Griseli Morales Echavarri, who's the Nicaraguan ambassador to the UK, speaking at the event. Trump targeting the Latin American left.
Reinstated, free education again reinstated, the reduction of illiteracy again, done it for the second time. And despite the difficulties of last year that many of you are aware, we advanced enough for the World Economic Forum put Nicaragua in the index of inclusive development. So in 2017, we were in the 29th position, in 32 position out of 74 countries. In 2018, despite of the big attack that we were in, the country moved to the 29th. And this is very important because it's inclusiveness. We're talking about inclusiveness. But as someone said, all this, virtually every social experiment of any significance in the 20th century has been either overthrown, invaded, or bombed, corrupted, perverted, or subverted. sanction, embargo, or destabilize, or otherwise have life made impossible for it by the United States. None of these socialist government or movements, from the Russian Revolution to Fidel Castro in Cuba, from Communist China to the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, not one, and to Venezuela of Chavez, no one was permitted to rise or fall solely on his own merits. No one was left secure enough to drop its guard against the all-powerful enemy abroad and freely and fully relax and control and do the good for their home. So I think that is the, this is what is going on. So, okay. So we're going to go just pass all this and say two important things. One is that we are not alone. This is a big fight. The Troika exists, but not for tyranny. It's for liberation and for inclusiveness and for development and for the good of our people. But we are not alone. We have you, and that is important. And we have in the region, for example, we have the left also is there for us. For example, the party of the European left has backed these countries who have condemned the attacks. And we're talking about 40 political entities just there alone. And then the Sao Paulo Forum, which has two of the biggest parties in there, the Brazilian Workers' Party and the Morena and the Workers' Parties in Mexico. So we're talking about millions of people there, also have been very vocal condemning the attacks on the countries. So we need to continue
against Latin America. She's coming back.
Movements and governments. Who will be the resistance? So we need to be together. So the international solidarity with our countries need to be together. So we can confront that attack. Probably we need to do a lot of something like the pacifist movement in the U.S. against the war of Vietnam. I think that must be required. And also to remember that you did it when Central America was also being attacked by the United States when the Nicaraguan Revolution was attacked. So the Sandinista Revolution is on the chair. We will continue moving forward. The Sandinista Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, the Bolivarian Revolution remains strong. We are the Son Sandino, Martí, and Bolívar, proud of these revolutionary projects that put in the center and in the heart of all the dignity, the national pride, national sovereignty, the social justice. With your friendship and your solidarity, Nicaragua, Cuba, and Venezuela will continue to be free. We'll continue resisting. We will prevail. Thank you.
Well, live, you're listening to this meeting at Tony Bedhouse on Victoria Street here in Bristol. The meeting is Trump targeting the Latin American left, and that was the Nicaraguan ambassador to the UK, Griseli Morales Echeverry. Next on the list is the Venezuelan ambassador, and that is Rocio del Valle Minerio Gonzalez, and we should be hearing from her any time now.
Okay. And the last one, the youngest in revolution, Teresita, 60 years in revolution, Giselle, 40, and we Venezuelans, 20. Thank you for being here with us, for giving us the opportunity to talk to you, to tell you things that you won't see in the media, to answer your questions, and most of all, thank you very much to Unite the Union. Thank you because you give us the opportunity to talk to people. And people, the opinion of all of you is so important. It's so important. We have nothing to defend ourselves but you. Nothing else. We are fighting with nothing. With the right, with the law, with international law in our hands, against you know what. The way to do something is through your minds, is through your head, your words. This thing that we do by WhatsApp, whatever, here, that is what the only thing that we have to fight against the great media. I was thinking, okay, what can I do? What can I say? Do I have to tell them the achievements of the Venezuelan Revolution? Because the media never talks about that. And it could be good to talk about that. But at this moment, we are in real danger. We are under siege. And what we have to do here is to call for your help, explain to you what is it about the blockade. Teresita told you what was the strategy of the United States back in 1960. It's the same strategy at this moment. This conference talks about Latin America under Trump, but it is not Trump. It is the way things are in United States. They think that America is for the Americans. And if you don't respect their law, their way of doing things, their democracy, they have to break you down. That's what they have done for many, many years, and they continue doing so. Teresita read something. In 1962, I will read you a little thing about the former ambassador of the United States to my country. And he said that about 2 months ago, talking about the blockade. And you will find that it is the same thing, the same thing. Let me see if I find it here. At this moment, perhaps the best solution would be to accelerate the collapse. He's talking about Venezuela. Even it is, if it produces great suffering for a period of months or perhaps years. They don't matter. Mr. William Brownfield, former ambassador of United States to my country. He was ambassador about 2 or 3 years ago. And he said that about 20 days ago, a month, I don't know. So, Venezuela is under siege. And I have prepared for you a resume. A resume that you have. I see some of them. Can you pass me this, please? It comes, it's a work that we have done. From 2015, these are facts, only facts. This is not me talking or whatever.
This is from Venezuelan ambassador to the UK, Rocio del Valle Meniero Gonzalez.
Venezuela, a real and present danger for United States and for humanity. To June 2019, there are all the measures, all the sanctions that they have imposed in Venezuela. At this moment, we have no access to the financial system. We cannot negotiate in dollars. Sometimes we can do it also in euros. They are blocking the imports of medicines. They are paralyzing our oil industry. They are freezing our assets. It's incredible what they are doing to Venezuela. Why are they doing this? Why? Well, because back in in 1902, President Monroe said that America is for Americans and that you have a back chart. Everybody wants a back chart at this moment. China has his back chart. Everybody has a back chart. But this back chart happened to say, listen, let us change things.
This is from the conference going on live here in Bristol, and Tony Benn House, Trump targeting the Latin American left, and this is the Venezuelan ambassador.
They have to do something. It is not Trump. It's just Trump is, you know, like an elephant in a... He is a very heavy person, no? In his way. Yes. But it's the same thing. Obama is more another kind of person. And that's it. It's the image, but it's the same thing. They need the backyard. They need our resources. They need to break the way we started to function. We started to put in place a very rare kind of cooperation. A cooperation among us in health. We went out and say, Cuba went out and say, okay, how many blinds there are in Panama? Let me do the mission miracle and give them their eyes. That's not good. That is not good. And Venezuela say, okay, let us do financial cooperation. Let us go to the Antillas, let us go to the Caribbean, let us go to our friends and give them money. For what? Well, to cooperate, for invest, for producing. And we started to create another model, a model among friends of equality. Nothing that has to do with the subordination in the relations between United States and Latin America that has been the case for years and years and years.
We are listening live to Tony Benn House in the center of Bristol.
This moment, everything is going down. We are not going to permit that. We are not going to allow that. And we need you. A word is more important than 1,000 rifles. A word is very important. And if you continue, if you read and communicate among all of you, there is a constituency, I don't know if that's the name or whatever, in London, that about a week ago, they came out and said, peace.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to just leave it there. I mean, the signal's just broken up completely almost with Tony Benn House. I want to get your impressions, first of all, Martin Summers, from this. And we'll do the rest of this next week. But some fascinating comments from the... That was Rocio del Valle Manerio Gonzalez, who's the Venezuelan ambassador to the UK, and actually she sounds quite pained, Martin. Sounds like they're having a really difficult time in Venezuela, and it's something that isn't really being communicated much over here in the mass media.
There was the height of the coup attempts a couple of months ago. The Venezuela was in the media because they were being targeted, but the coup attempt failed. Guaido, no, most people in Venezuela hadn't even heard of him. The Americans and British decided that he was the elected president of Venezuela, even though he'd never even stood for president. 80% of Venezuelans had never heard who he was. The Americans were, and with British in tow as usual, were trying to impose him as the people's favourite, as it were, and it just didn't work. I mean, he had pretty solid support in the posh areas of Venezuela, but there was pretty solid support for the existing government. And now, of course, it's rather embarrassing because the existing government's still there, although there's been another assassination attempt on Maduro, which they have blamed on the Colombians and the Americans, because there was a drone attack on him about 6 months ago, which nearly killed him. And yes, they're pained because they're at war.
Okay, what we're hearing there is all sorts of interesting stuff, isn't it? It's quite a lot of talk about psychological operations in the first one from the Cuban ambassador, and then the Venezuelan ambassador's talking about minds and heads and words. That's the way that this fight is going to take place, Fabian.
Yeah, this is all very worrying. It's sort of, you think, you know, if you want, you know, if a country's got oil and you want some of that oil, you buy it, you know, you trade. And it just seems that America, this seems to be sort of quite blatant imperialism. I mean, obviously these countries aren't, you know, they're doing a lot of good, but they're not perfect. I mean, certainly Cuba, there are issues of religious freedom, they are, you know, persecuting Christian churches, and there's no need for them to do that, but they're doing that, and that they do need to be called, where there are human rights abuses, they do need to be called up. But, you know, America's trying to stop, you know, countries like Venezuela and that have tried to create a more equal society.
Okay, Martin, specific things. They're talking about having no access to dollars, no access to medicines, no access to be able to sell their oil. And now the US is also arranging for international seizure of their assets. So all of this isn't really making the news, is it?
No, well, I mean, the Bank of England refused to hand over several billion pounds, dollars worth of gold, which belongs to the Venezuelans, and they put it there for safekeeping. And the Bank of England, that's our government, said, no, you can't have it, even though it's yours.
Talking about the ambassador from the US to Venezuela from a few years ago, saying that we should accelerate the collapse, even if it causes suffering for weeks or years.
Well, that's pretty much the attitude. The policy of the US, and it's not just in Latin America, is to create suffering for people so that their regimes that they don't like get removed. And that's why the Royal Marines have been preventing oil from going to Syria yesterday, because they don't want the Syrians to have oil, even though the people in Syria need oil.
Just to review, that was the Cuban ambassador to Britain, Teresita Vicente Totolongo, followed by the Nicaraguan ambassador to Britain, Griselli Morales Echeverri, and finally you heard the Venezuelan ambassador to Britain, Rocio del Valle Manerio Gonzalez. Sorry about the pronunciation's a little bit iffy, but Martin, what they're really talking about there, and particularly the Venezuelan ambassador, bless her, was talking about this Bolivarian revolution, saying this is what we're trying to carry on in the face of all these literal, economic, psychological, and actually physical attacks from the United States of America.
Well, the regime, well, the government there.
You're just copying the BBC.
Yes, I'm copying there. You see, how this works? The government there actually improved living standards for ordinary people out of all recognition during its first two or three terms. But of course, what's happened is they've been targeted and they've basically been taken down.
When she talks about the Bolivarian Revolution, what does she really mean by that?
Well, Bolivar was the leader of the independence struggle against Spain in the 1820s, in which a lot of ex-British army officers participated. In fact, they were often his right hand men, and the Bolivarian Revolution was a phrase put together by Chavez, really, because he was a military officer. He was
patriot colonel. He was a former Venezuelan president.
Venezuelan military officer, yeah. And that was one of the reasons why he was so successful, because the military in rest of Latin America tends to be very much in the pocket of the Americans. And as we know, most of Latin America was under military dictatorship throughout the 1960s.
It's very interesting, isn't it? I mean, you look at the Spanish colonization of South America and the British, mainly, colonization of North America. The two ended in very different ways, didn't they? With the United States coming together as one gigantic country. That didn't happen at all in South America, did it? Why is that?
Well, Bolivar did believe in having one big republic, and there is still a lot of talk in Latin America about, you know, creating for example, economic ties between the different countries, because of course all of the actual production in these countries was dominated by British capital during the 19th century. So you've got railways which are there to take stuff out of the country and bring it somewhere else, rather than linking the countries together. So that's the infrastructure that they've inherited. So they're trying to move forward towards a more integrated market.
Comparisons are being made actually now with the tech giants takeover, because these big American-based companies are generally taking over many of these countries' news feeds, a lot of their their information infrastructure in a similar way to these railways, for example, were a kind of a colonial infrastructure. So would you, do you think there's a point?
Well, I mean,
that?
The other thing is that the TV companies in the Latin American countries, like Globo TV in Brazil and the private TV stations in Venezuela, are very much anti the current governments. So when they talk about the, I mean, in Cuba, they've got fairly controlled situations.
So a bit like it would be here in Britain, if there was a Corbyn government, you'd find all of the media attacking.
That's right. And in actual fact, Guaido, who's basically been involved in an armed attempt to overthrow the government, he's not been arrested or nothing's been done to him. And of course, the people who support him are very vociferous in their support for him. And they have TV stations calling for the overthrow of the government every day. But the government doesn't close those TV stations down. They just mobilise their own people, mostly the poorer people, to resist.
Well, in an attempt to sort of link the interview with Ken Livingstone with this, back in 2008, when Boris Johnson became mayor in London, he scrapped a deal between London and Venezuela, which helped to fund half-price bus and tram fares for Londoners on low incomes. The mayor announced yesterday, this is a Guardian article from May 2008, the agreement he inherited from Ken Livingstone, which traded London's expertise in transport and urban planning for subsidised diesel fuel for London buses, would not be renewed when it expires in August. So Ken was really looking at ways that London and Londoners could benefit from having a relationship with Venezuela and Venezuelan oil.
Well, yes, and of course that's that he gets accused for doing that, of being a pie in the sky lefty, blah blah blah. But I mean, the world is getting smaller and smaller. You could see the Venezuelan ambassador lady there was very angry about what's happening, and Britain is part of the bullying that's going on. We are backing the Americans to bully them. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, and it's indefensible. And you think while we're doing that, we're also selling arms to the Saudis to bomb the living daylights out of Yemen. You know, the hypocrisy, you know, of who we trade with and who we don't is absolutely jaw-dropping.
OK, we're going to go back now to the story we started at the top of the hour with, and that is the boarding by Royal Marines of this tanker. And we're going to hear some discussion about Iran from the Prime Minister's questions this week. But Martin, some people have actually talked about what the Marines, Royal Marines, got up to yesterday morning as piracy.
Well, it's a question whether it's there are sanctions on Syria, so this is part of the sanctions.
These are sanctions that were imposed in 2012, but the things have kind of moved on really since then.
Well, they have, and basically we're using economic warfare in all parts. We preach the free market, and in actual practice, what we do is we go around like the mafia and break people's legs if they don't do what we want.
What about those that would accuse us of just being a little lapdog for the Americans doing this?
Well, don't forget, British special forces are inside Syria training jihadis who are basically aligned with al-Qaeda to kill Syrian army soldiers. They've taken 160,000 casualties, but they are winning and the British army are losing.
So let's have a listen now, if we can, to some audio from the House of Commons this week about Iran.
Ames Morris!
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Iran continues to use all methods, including an increasingly sophisticated cyber capability, to destabilise the Middle East and pursue its ambition to become a regional superpower in the Middle East. Would the Prime Minister agree with me that a cyber-armed Iran is equally as dangerous as a nuclear-armed Iran, and we need to do all that we can necessary with our allies to combat this increasing threat from Iran in cyberspace?
Friend is right to raise concerns about Iran's destabilising behaviour in the region. Our objective continues to be to work with our international partners to find diplomatic solutions and to de-escalate tensions. But he's also right to raise this issue about cyber capability. We have a dedicated capability to act in cyberspace through our National Offensive Cyber Programme. And last year, we offered our offensive cyber capabilities in support of NATO operations. He talks about working with others. We were the first nation to do that, and we'll continue continue to ensure that we have effective offensive cyber capabilities, which can be deployed at a time and place of our choosing across the full range of international threats.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it, how that's turned from a little discussion about just about Iran to the Britain. Actually, I suppose this is GCHQ, Martin, using our ability to hack, basically. And I mean, this reminds me of apparent hacking of an Iranian nuclear reactor.
Yeah, the Stuxnet virus was written by the Americans and the Israelis to break, and it was introduced into the Iranian nuclear program. And of course, Iranian nuclear scientists were being assassinated by MEK, working with Mossad.
Britain is supposedly still in the JCPOA deal with Iran. Don't
forget, British and the Americans overthrew the democratically elected government of Mossadegh in 1953 because it nationalised British petroleum. Yep. And this is the history. And, of course, everybody in Britain's forgotten all about that, but the people in Iran haven't forgotten. And we're still basically persecuting them as we always did. And that's what this is all about.
But this is starting to look as if an offensive cyber capability against Iran, that potentially could start a real war.
Well, if you're going to go around hacking other people's computers, I mean, at one stage they were talking about hacking the Moscow underground to cause accidents. That's what the Russians were annoyed. What are you talking about?
Is there any justification, though? They're saying that this tanker was illegally bringing oil into Syria. From Iran.
Well, it's illegal under EU sanctions. But whether EU should have sanctions on Syria is another question. The sanctions were all part of the attempt to remove Assad, who's actually got far more popular support than is recognised in this country. That's why he survived. The idea that he was just going to roll over and disappear was... you'd remember when the uprising first began, and of course it began with an armed struggle. It didn't really begin with mass protests. They started shooting police officers from the get-go. And of course that's because they were working with Western intelligence services who told them that's the way to do it. And it didn't work. And the Syrian army's turned out to be much tougher nuts to crack than they imagined.
Why?
Because the Syrian officer corps are mostly Sunnis, and the Sunnis are the majority in Syria. It's a very mixed population, but the Sunnis are the majority, and the Sunnis had always been the core of the officer corps. And what they thought would happen is what happened in Libya, where various elements of the army turned against Gaddafi. But what happened in Syria was that the Sunni officer corps were loyal to the state rather than to the religious ideology. And they, in fact, have organised the rest of the population, including the Christians and the Alawites, to resist what is essentially Wahhabi extremism coming from the other side.
Yeah, and what is tragic about the whole Syria situation is before this uprising, you know, Syria was a model of coexistence. You had Christian and Muslims living side by side in peace. And, you know, Western meddling has reduced it to this hell. And what on earth are we doing, or what on earth is any Western government doing, supporting jihadis? I mean, for pity's sake.
Your difference is our strength. On Bristol's BCF.
Well, we have to cope with the slight technical difficulties again there. But anyway, this is BCFM 93.2. You're listening to here. Trying to be a bit clever, obviously, putting a jingle on there. How about this one?
One nation, one world on Bristol's BCFM 93.2, inclusive radio for Bristol.
That's better. And now we're going to take a look at a pretty horrific event earlier this week over in Libya. Martin, there was an airstrike on a migrant camp, and they said apparently some of people were being detained in the migrant camp too. But there are some horrendous, I don't know if you've seen the pictures, the United Nations says one airstrike hit a hangar containing more than 100 migrants in Libya. But the thing is, who has done this? As usual, we have to try and unpick this stuff from a distance. There are all sorts of allegations about who's done it. The United Nations believes at least 53 migrants have died and 130 were injured in airstrikes on the Tajura Centre. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, has said the airstrikes could constitute a war crime. But the question is, who's done it? Most Western media are accusing Khalifa Haftar, the Libyan general with big ambitions.
Well, it's very difficult, as you say, everybody's accusing everybody else of doing this. And to be honest, I've got no information about who may or may not. It's definitely people with an air force.
I tell you who.
I think we can rule out people who haven't got any aircraft.
I can tell you who does know a lot about this sort of thing, and that is James and Joanne Moriarty from LibyaWarTheTruth.com. We had an extended interview with them a few weeks ago. But I thought I'd give them a call and ask them who they thought was behind this. That's their website, LibyaWarTheTruth.com. I asked them, first of all, who done it?
It's the terrorist militias. It's the Siraj government that is behind it. They did this already once in April. They bombed some houses, civilian houses, and tried to blame it on the Libyan military. Even the AFRICOM came out and said, no, those missiles came from Siraj camps. So this is the same dirty game they played in 2011. This is the Libyans continually say this. This is the same dirty game. The Libyan National Army has no reason to attack migrant camps. No reason at all. They don't harm the Libyan army. But if somebody attacked it and blamed the Libyan army, then all the world community is going to be up in arms. But it was the Siraj camp that attacked it. The Libyan army came out and made a formal statement about that today.
What about where the camps are and who holds the areas where the camps are? How does that bear on it?
It doesn't really bear on it because they're in Tripoli. And Tripoli is under confusion right now. Some parts are held by the Libyan army. Some parts are held by the militias. Militias are not any organized army, and they hide in people's houses. They hide behind women. They kill people in the streets. So it's very disorganized. They are disorganized, and they have the Turkish generals in there. There's a bunch of them, I don't know, two or three of them, that were in the Al-Mahari Hotel as a war room, trying to organize them against the Libyan National Army. That war room has now been moved to the Maitiga Airport.
What about evidence that some people are saying that it could be a drone strike, actually?
Possibly could have been, because the Turkey has their drones in there, a bunch of them. The Libyan National Army, like I said, it doesn't behoove them at all to attack a migrant camp. They're trying to take over Tripoli.
We'll have to go to the news now, 8 o'clock. Thanks very much for sticking with us. And I'll put some more of these programmes on our podcast at thisweek.org.uk. Thanks very much to Fabian Brickles and Martin Summers. Do please join us for the Politics Show at 6 o'clock next week. Enjoy the carnival if you can. God bless. And don't let the banksters get you down.